Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 28. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcasted chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 20th chapter. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. There's an old rubric that the St. John Passion on Good Friday is to be sung sine titulo, that is, without any title or introduction or even conclusion. Simply recount the wondrous deeds of the Lord in his sufferings and death. What further comment could be needed? But the Lutherans did not let that stand for very long. Almost immediately, it became the custom to add something, to sing at the conclusion of the Passion, "Thanks be to our Lord, who has redeemed us by his Passion from damnation." Silence and contemplation, that's appropriate, fixing our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. But as Psalm 75 says, faith also must give thanks to God for his wondrous deeds in his Son. We are moved to acknowledge our Lord's death for our salvation. His deeds, they are difficult to understand. Even the disciples struggled to know and believe this third time that Jesus had talked about it. But truly, there is no better summary than what our Lord himself gives today. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. "At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity, when the earth totters and all its inhabitants. It's I who keep steady its pillars." His name is near because our Creator has come to his creation. Therefore, he is, of course, its judge. But unlike the judges of this world, this one is equitable. Just before today's saying, Jesus told his parable of the vineyard workers and the master's equitable judgment according to his own generosity. But remember how his mercy provoked the evil eye of those first workers in the day. Well, the Lord says to the boastful, "Do not boast." To the wicked, "Do not lift up your horn." Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with a haughty neck. For not from the east or from the west, not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one, lifting up another. And such is the rebuke that Christ gives to his disciples today, fresh on the heels of his third passion prediction. Now, they're not like the Pharisees who fancied themselves first and uniquely chosen, against whom Christ had told that parable. But they do show themselves susceptible to the very same leaven. The sons and their proud mother, maybe, do fancy themselves first and unique, worthy of the seats of honor. They put themselves forward for elevation. And this, too, is contrary to Christ's way and his church. All of us must take this passage to heart again and again, not only because it declares Christ's wondrous works for us, but because we have a place following after him in his service. The hierarchy of honor and power is not the same as the hierarchy of the church, truly a hierarchy of service. The honor of the great ones among the Gentiles is always imposed, but the honor of the church's pastors and all auxiliary offices in it are to serve tirelessly, often thanklessly, driven by the Lord's aims and not by what we would gain from it. It is not Christian for high leaders in the church to expect comforts or adulation from people. It's not the way of discipleship to build a pyramid on the backs of others and claim that you have delegated or diffused the mission. It must be those gifts of God to the church who themselves bear the word servant, even slave and service, because finally these are no different words. Not the people of God, not the sheep, but the leaders, the pastors, the bishops are the slaves, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Likewise, to use whatever authority and power exists in the church to build your own legacy, that is to act like Pharisees who are following the ways of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles have this pattern of calling their haughty lords benefactors. Shamefully, this is often the case in the church as well. The places of honor, the rewards of heaven, they're going to be revealed there, not beforehand. Perhaps Peter, James, and John will be enthroned closest to Christ. Perhaps it will be Paul, untimely born. Just as likely, maybe some Canaanite woman, or a little child, or some forgotten Lutheran father. They will not have honor in cups of comfort and carousing enjoyed on earth, but they should expect rather cups like their master was made to drink, of sacrifice and of suffering for his name's sake. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming red wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. Those who follow their master will become like their master. They will suffer, they will bear sacrifices, and these should always be to us who are his servants welcome signs that our service is in fact faithful, like his. But of course, even the cups of those who will be seated at the right and the left of Christ in glory, they still can't be equated truly with his cup. Psalm 75 speaks in concert with all the prophets about the cup of God's wrath that is meant to be poured out on the wicked, that they have to drink what they have poured down to the dregs. It's simply come to mean an ordeal for us, right? A cup to bear, such as the shame and the pain that Christ's sufferings would bring. But it is essential for us to see that this metaphorical cup is God's divine metaphor for his wrath and sin, his wrath against all sin and arrogance. This cup, no one is able to drink and be left standing. James and John are not able, as they so boldly claim. Even our Lord in the garden prays whether it might not be taken away from him. And yet, uniquely, he does not turn from it, but he remains perfectly obedient to his Father's will. Because the Son of Man gives his life as a ransom. He gives himself as the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction of the Father's wrath, not against his own sins, but against ours, as we have just sung, as Matthew's Gospel and the other passions also show. Forsaken by the Father's grace, and yet so that his pardon might forgive those who know not what they do. Even those who are tempted to seek after the glory of Gentiles and Pharisees, or to shirk the cross by which Christ's gospel has come into the world. But I and you will declare it forever. We will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked he will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. So it is no secret, as we ponder the unique sacrifice of Christ in our place and learn from him also how to love God and our neighbor, that the Father will be well pleased with his sacrifice fully. His Son will be lifted up on the third day, just as he foretold. And this we will declare forever, not our own greatness, but the greatness of our ransomed who has first served us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.